And aloha. Welcome to Talk Story, the longest running talk show on Maui. How are you doing today? Well, I'm Cindy Paulus here with you, and it's great to be here. We got a very interesting show coming up for you today. We'll be talking about a great event coming up at the end of April. April 30th is Ocean Aid, and it's going to be happening on Oahu. I've got the co-producers coming in to talk about that, and also thrilled to be having my good friend Scott Johnson with Dogtown Designs and also with Maui Tribe coming in to talk about a great event coming up here in just a few weeks. It's going to be the Willie K. Barbecue Blues Fest, which is going to be happening in historic Lahaina Town, March 23rd through Saturday, March 25th. The 23rd is the day that it's open under the banyan tree for free. And then on Friday night, it's the VIP event at Fleetwood's on the rooftop. And then the Saturday date is March 25th with Willie, Tommy Castro, Eric Sardinas, Capanna, Kings of Spade, Davana, Gretchen Rhodes, and it's at the Lahaina Civic Center on that day. So tickets are now available, by the way. You can go to WillieKBluesFest.com and get your tickets. Hey, they're here! Yay! Come on in. We got Ava and Big Daddy Carlos here in the studio joining us all the way from Las Vegas. Aloha.
Hello. Aloha.
I kind of family. It's kind of a family day, right? It's Ohana. It's funny. I haven't really met you, but you are Ohana to me, really.
Absolutely.
Because you're good buddies with my good buddy. Actually, my son-in-law.
Your son-in-law.
Also,
and your daughter.
Also, Carlos, right?
We go back 30+ years.
30+ years. Wow.
Along with my wife Ava.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Go back with your son-in-law as well too.
Yeah, Ava was in. Oh, let's try the other set. So, and Ava, can you hear okay? Yeah, you can hear okay?
Yeah, I can hear perfect.
Perfect. Ava's cute because she's got her dark glasses, sunglasses, and headphones over her dark glasses.
That's how we do it.
And you've got your sunglasses on too, Carla.
Absolutely. But these are prescriptions, so
I really should go Facebook Live. I may go Facebook Live. I think I will. Should I go Facebook Live
sure.
So people can see what's going on here? Okay, we were contacted by you. It's been almost about a year you've been in the planning stage for this huge event coming up in April. So what I is someone else is here too?
Camel Farrell, the co-creator of OceanAid.
Oh, I have Camel come on in and join the party here.
Sure.
OceanAid is really a
passion. Camel Farrell and
hi, Camel. Hi, oh, you almost closed the door on Bright here.
And Bright Tsung, who is co-creator of OceanAid as well too.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you're all here. The party's all here. And
also,
I'm just...
Also, island royalty in the F&B aspect, Chef Chai's nephew, and head of the food and beverage for the event as well, too.
Well, that's great, Bright, and wonderful to see you all here. Okay, I'm going to plan to go Facebook Live on OceanAid. I'll do this. And so tell me about where the dream started, Carlos.
Well, it's a carnation of a lot of things, but mainly great people coming together for an amazing cause. Myself and my wife, Ava, who's the better half of the boss, as I like to call her. I spent a lot of my early childhood on the North Shore, so there's a very spiritual connection with myself. And years ago, we had planned on doing something on the North Shore. But because the cause and what we were kind of creating as it grew, we decided that it wouldn't be able to facilitate exactly what we wanted. And as the universe and fruition brought it together, we partnered up with Campbell Farrell. And Campbell was a soul brother and someone who, once again, the universe brought us together for this cause. Now, he was planning on doing something with his faction at the Aloha Stadium. And we decided to join forces and kind of come together, and through mutual friends and affiliates within the local government and industry icons and Hawaiian icons, we basically came to a consensus that it needed to be at Kapiolani Park, where it is the spirit of Aloha and everything that is Hawaii. And that is what brought us to the location that we will be showcasing the first OceanAid, first of many more to come. It will be an annual event.
Starting, thumbs up on that one.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Starting in Hawaii. And by year two, we will be in Hawaii, Las Vegas, and in Los Angeles.
Well, let's give people a little background. You have quite an interesting background. Your roots are really in rock and roll. You played in a band called, actually years ago, in rock and roll. See, we still have albums in here. See,
absolutely, see, folks, the vinyl.
Years ago, we used to play Chicken Hawk. It was Chicken Hawk, right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you kept in the biz with friends, and then you got your restaurant you started in Hollywood, the Velvet Margarita?
Correct. We're celebrating our 13-year anniversary in Hollywood as an iconic establishment. Myself and Ava, we go back 20-something years plus in the Hollywood entertainment industry kind of faction. Of course, I was a musician, but then the evolution
what
of
that. What did you play?
I was a lead singer, of course.
LSD,
as we say, lead singer disease.
I'd never heard that before. That's actually funny, Carlos.
You can keep that. Cheers. For me to you.
Lead singer disease. Does that take a big ego?
Well, you know, it's a whole other conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, so then how did you end up getting your club in Las Vegas and doing the transition to Vegas?
Well, we started, the natural progression came from being in the nightclub entertainment industry and a culmination of what I owned, which was after hours clubs and nightclubs, and then getting together with Ava and combining all of our forces, if you will, and then leaving the front of the stage for behind the stage and realizing that the true love was for the passion of music and the spiritual connection of music, mm-hmm. and being able to facilitate venues that would enable up-and-coming musicians to experience maybe what we didn't get to experience in our generation coming up, because the people that owned the venues at that time didn't give a shit. Excuse my French.
Oh, you can't say that on the air. Okay. But that's okay. But you know what? In Las Vegas, you do. In Vegas, you do a lot of bands.
Absolutely.
That are really cool bands.
Absolutely.
That, you're right, could not have played. And in a way, I see Vegas as happening in a music scene in ways Los Angeles isn't happening.
Downtown Las Vegas is completely on fire, and we kind of liken it to Austin, Texas meets SoHo, kind of meets the Quaker Corridor, which is where we are. And the Vegas progression was eventually bringing out Velvet Margarita and our entertainment establishments to Las Vegas. But we saw when we invested in downtown Las Vegas, there was such a need for a music scene, a cultural scene. Any cultural renaissance has to begin with the music. And without that, there is nothing. So in Vegas in the past, you had the options as a musician were to play in mega resorts, i.e. House of Blues and Brooklyn Bowl and so forth, or dive bars. There was no world class in between. There was no Whiskey a Go-Go. There was no Troubadour. There was no Roxy. Mm-hmm. And these are all LA analogies that I use for a reason, because they've been around for 50 plus years. Point being that a music venue does not go out of style. Mm-hmm. You know, nightclubs come and go, and God bless them. We did very well, and we had
Ava did too. Ava worked at
some of the top
really
nightclubs in the world.
Well, I owned actually Fremont Country Club, which is our biggest music venue in Las Vegas, is my 17th nightclub I've built. So
wow, 17!
I'm not new at the rodeo.
Built in a
whoa!
Yeah, since I started my career,
you've seen a few doors.
Yeah, I have. So
yeah, and you actually, when you were doing Los Angeles, you had a lot of gigs going on, and you worked with Prince's band.
Yeah,
and
I was a partner in Prince's nightclub called Glam Slam. Mm-hmm. We at one point I had 6 nightclubs in Hollywood in the Los Angeles area all at the same time, and but always wanted to plant my flag in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is now the entertainment capital of the world. More shows happen in Las Vegas on any given night than anywhere on the planet.
So jump and fast forward to the connection with how we got the love of the ocean and Bright here, who used to also work in. Bright has an interesting history as well, because just put the mic over here for Bright from, because Bright worked at KHON. You might remember when, was it KHON or K?
That was KHON.
Yeah.
And we had Hawaii's Kitchen.
Hawaii's Kitchen.
Yes, back in the days.
Yeah. Well, you had a relative there that was involved also in the food industry, right?
Oh yeah, you can say that. Well, he's been around for a little while.
And that is
Uncle Chef Chai.
Uncle Jeff Chai.
Chef Chai.
Chef Chai, you were eating well.
I was. From
you still
from a young
are,
age.
Probably, right?
Arguably one of the greatest.
I would say that. I would say I still do eat well. I'm out in Las Vegas now. I thought I'd try to move away from food and beverage for a while from the family business, but somehow ended up in food and beverage anyway when I went out to Las Vegas. So that's how that came about.
So now you're here all together, and I don't know quite the Campbell role. So
Campbell's going to interject on how he came in full circle and created the big happy family.
Lean in, as they say, Campbell.
Yeah, I just I like the idea of a music festival happening in Hawaii that had a strong message that was a benefit to the community.
Oh, I love that accent. Is that Australian or is it?
I'm from New Zealand.
New Zealand, wonderful.
Yeah, so I've been here 25 years, and I've had an incredible adventure in the Hawaiian waters, surfing and windsurfing. And
Campbell's actually one of the last big wave surfers and first big wave surfers from when the genre kind of took off. He's downplaying it, but he surfed some of the biggest waves in the world.
Wow.
He's a champion surfer.
Wow. Okay, so what are we planning to make people aware? And again, obviously, this is really going to be a big event because you've got a lot of the connections in the business. You've been doing it for ages. And you really care about doing something to remove the plastics from the ocean, correct?
Which is the biggest cause right now. The plastics in the ocean that are killing millions of animals every day as we speak, on a piranha basis, on a daily basis, and the fact that with OceanAid, the concert, the festival, the event, the cause, we will bring this to the world. And a focal point that makes people realize that, you know, without Mother Ocean, you know, we don't have a future. And we have to address this drastically right now. We also got together, which is what we're excited about, among other things, Ken Cragen, the creator of We Are the World and Hands Across America, is our partner in this as well, too, along with Hank Cohn, who is very instrumental in Live Aid. So some of the biggest altruistic events that ever took place, the four founding fathers have come together with us to be part of this as well.
And you are thinking big, you know. You have a lot of friends, as I mentioned, from your past concerts and what you've done and being in the industry. So we're not going to maybe go down the whole list, but you do have some very iconic, impressive names in almost all genres of music that fit in Hawaii, right?
Absolutely. And the island loves, you know, our reggae and old school hip hop and R&B and rhythm and blues and predominantly all of those genres. We have some of the top iconic acts in the world, from Bootsy Collins to Ohio Players to Maxi Priest to Grandmaster Flash and on and so on and forth. But with that said, once again, it's more about the cause. We can't.
We're getting
back
people
enough.
Offering to play already here on Facebook
Live. Yeah,
of course.
It's huge. Well, as you know, because of our relationship, we decided to, you are our sister station in conjunction with the Ambassadors for the Cause. And this is one of the first interviews that we're kind of announcing this. But within the next couple of weeks, we will be announcing the entirety of the lineup and the magnitude of what's going to happen, along with the fact that, you know, it will be televised, and there will be.
That's right. We can say that, right?
Yeah,
we can mention that it's going to be on KGMB.
We can't go into the details right now, but it's definitely going to be televised, and it's going to be all over the islands.
Is that right, Craig? He's blinking.
And also, working out.
A wink is as good as a nod to a blind horse without a microphone.
Faces.
And we're also going to have some tremendous public speakers.
That are
part of the cause, professors, people, experts in the field. Actually, my background, I'm actually a marine biologist. That is my degree.
So you've been in this a long time.
Well, I've never practiced it professionally. I'm an avid scuba diver, but that is what I have my degree in, is marine biology. So it's been a passion of mine for since my college days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of fell into the nightclub business, so now it's become full circle, and now I'm able to use my 32 years of experience in the music nightclub business to bring it back to where my heart's at, and that's, you know, being part of OceanAid and part of cleaning up the oceans.
Well, it's a huge, huge problem. I mean, people have been using the ocean as a trash can. Plus, then there's the other things that happen that, like, you know, environmental disasters. And we got
absolutely
a lot of junk that landed up on our shores even after that terrible tsunami in Japan. And, I mean, there's it's as big as almost a small country out there. It's a pile of oceans out there, pile of plastic right in the middle. And it's killing our sea life.
Twice the size of Texas.
Is it twice the size of Texas?
The largest plastic island gyre in the Pacific Northwest Rim is twice the size of Texas, which is kind of hard to believe, actually.
Are people, you're in the ocean-loving field, and you know, I mean, this is a major concern you're seeing, is that people maybe go out on a cruise or something, and they dump their, or they're at the beach. Yeah. And they just leave their bottles, their water bottles or something, right behind,
yeah,
right?
A gyre is a natural current. It's converging currents. That's very natural. You know, the fact is that the gyres are becoming more visible because plastics that are polluting from around the Pacific Rim, in particular, in the Pacific Ocean, are migrating with these currents towards the gyre, the converging zone, convergence zone. And as the plastics move through Hawaii, they catch on the Hawaii shoreline. So there's a lot of plastic debris that we pick up on our beach cleanups that are part of, you know, local trash, but a lot of it's from not from here either. It's sort of moving through the islands.
And it's a combination of nets, big nets. It's a combination of buoys. It's a combination of a lot of junk.
Aquaculture, fishing nets, single-use plastics. You know, it's all out there, and it just gets smashed up by the sea, on the shoreline. Fish are eating it. A lot of the plastics carry toxins, so there's poison that's getting into the fish that we eat. And, you know, 8 million tons of trash is dumped in the ocean every year.
8 million tons?
Yeah.
8 million tons, my gosh.
So they reckon by 2050 at this rate there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fish.
Than actual fish.
Not.
Not to mention every time you have a storm, Hawaiian Islands, where they're geographically located, they act as like a cheese grater almost. So it's a trash compacting collector in the middle of the Pacific Rim specifically that is the biggest problem. So Hawaii, first and foremost, is what we're addressing and taking the cause of Hawaii to the rest of the world.
So can you give us a couple of clues of a couple of people you might know that are going to be playing on April 30th at the... it's going to be at the Shell, is that correct?
Right. Once again, it'll be in the Kapalena Park region, and this is because of legalities and what we're going through right now with the final TV broadcast and so forth. Everything is kind of hush-hush to the grand announcement, which will be in the next couple of weeks. But you have performers like some Bootsy Collins and Ohio Players and Grandmaster Flash and Maxi Priest and Parliament Funkadelic and DJ Lethal from House of Pain and DJ Mateo from Fun Loving Criminals and
Henry Capone.
On and on. Like I said, that's the fun part with the next couple of weeks. But right now, it's just all about getting the awareness of what we're doing for the cause.
What?
You say I'm not announcing nothing right now.
Okay.
No, there's some good, exciting news. In a couple of weeks, the world's gonna hear. It's gonna be great.
So, and this is a massive project. I mean, number one,
yes,
we all know, you know, having been here on the islands for a while, we know it's hard to get bands in. I mean, it's expensive and it's
Absolutely. And
it's hard. I mean, you got to fly in, and you know, so, and then you get the bands, and you got, so it's not just the whole group and putting them up and the permits and everything that's going on behind it as well. So it's a big deal. I know you know it's been a dream of yours for over a year. You've been working on this actually, what, about a year?
Myself, Campbell, my wife, coming up on 2 years now.
Yeah. Two years, wow.
But prior to that, the cause as well too, and all roads kind of led to where we're at now with what we do in our businesses and putting everything together and creating this network for OceanAid.
I believe it's you're in the working stages, planning stage to have it streamed so people can see it on TV and then be able to see it also on YouTube afterwards and being able to have audio and in the stages to make this a first of something really, really huge, right?
Absolutely.
I also want to say that we have recognized local nonprofits that are really strategic in fighting this plastic pollution issue here in Hawaii.
Like, can you give me a few names?
Yeah, we have a Surf Rider, Sustainable Coastlines Hawaii, and Hawaii Wildlife Fund. We have our nonprofit, Love the Sea, and we're introducing a very successful nonprofit from New Zealand up here to start their own Hawaiian campaign, and that's Sea Cleaners.
I have a travel show on Mondays. I'd love to do some talk with you about New Zealand and the campaigns you have there as well. I mean, because it's a very huge thing. The awareness of the environment in New Zealand is extremely heightened, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where do you live in New Zealand? Where did you live?
I grew up in Auckland.
Yeah. Oh, in Auckland. Okay.
Yeah, so Hayden Smith from Sea Cleaners New Zealand, he founded Sea Cleaners 15 years ago. He's actually just this year been voted New Zealander of the Year. So, you know, he's got
he's part of our organization. He's the captain of Sea Cleaners.
Been the guiding light for us, really connecting.
Is there actually a ship called Sea Cleaners?
Yes.
Oh, there is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they actually go out there
and
they
clean the sea.
They're actually going out collecting trash.
Five days a week, they have a vessel cleaning the shoreline and the waterways, and they've removed over 4 million liters of trash.
Wow.
From New Zealand shoreline.
So this would be the question. If you're going out, you'd need a pretty big vessel to get all the trash in because there's so much trash, or
more vessels, hence ocean aid. That's the whole concept of raising the proceeds to put more vessels in the water.
And support the existing nonprofits that are already doing a great job rallying the community to do, you know, local beach cleanups. They've created educational programs. And they've got all sorts of great things in the works now, like putting a water trash wheel in the Alawai. So Sustainable Coastlines is working to install a trash wheel, which is a barge that would float in the Alawai, and it has a wheel on the side of it that would turn down through the water and pick up trash and remove it before it goes out to sea.
What, like a big water wheel?
Exactly. But it collects, water wheel. It has a dumpster attached to it. And as the water wheel turns, it actually puts the trash into the dumpster right away.
I
and
love
then
I, that
they
idea.
Put it on the shore, and they just like, and then they
you
just
could do
filled
a few
it up.
Of those.
Yeah,
right?
And have you seen how polluted the Alawais have become? It's such a necessity.
In the last
5 to 10 years, it's just unbelievable how bad the pollution's gotten.
So, you know, we came up with this motto of fix it local and take it global, and by starting off, you know, here in Hawaii. We felt like the Hawaiian Islands, everyone loves to visit Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most remote islands in the world, center of the biggest ocean. There's 5 gyres in the world, and the North Pacific Garbage Patch is the largest gyre. It's less than
actually 5 of these, huh?
Yes. Wow. And it's less than 1,000 miles from Hawaii. And while it's, you know...
Wow. And is it moving towards us?
No, it's kind of stagnant because it's where the convergence zone is. But it's just growing and it gets smashed up by the storms and broken apart, and then it'll all come together again during calm.
What happens with the migrations of not only the whales, but other...
Well, they're all swimming through it. So, ironically, Hayden Smith was here back in, I think, 2008, and he hired the Billabong seaplane. He flew up to the gyre. He took some council members from the Hawaiian government and other prestigious people in the field of ocean conservancy, and they... witnessed whales migrating to Hawaii and just, you know, porpoising through the plastic garbage patch.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
To imagine them trying to navigate through it.
And it's kind of a misnomer. It's actually an island twice the size of Texas, but it's not really, it's a figure of speech. It's just congealed.
Plastic
liquid garbage, liquid plastic that is a soup.
In various stages of breaking down.
Breaking down because through the erosion, through photosynthesis, through the, it being broken down through the weather, then the sun beats on it, it just becomes more soupy and more soupy. And unfortunately, you know, the fish are eating it. We're eating the fish. It's extremely toxic. And it's become part of our DNA, and they've done blood samples and tests on people that are big fish eating people in this area, and they have this, you know, this poison in their body that's carried through the plastic that they're eating through the fish.
And Mark Pincus said just what we did say. Mark might have heard, but he said, I heard in a documentary that in a few years there will be more plastic in the ocean than there are fish, and that is true.
If not addressed, that is a fact. Yes.
Not addressed.
Yeah.
So we all have to do something. And then the biggest question that people ask, so once we get all this plastic, you know, how are we going to repurpose the plastic?
Good point.
And so we have a whole plan for that as well. We've been talking, and then there's...
Second phase campaign, which is specifically upcycling.
Upcycling the plastic.
Once you have this raw product, where does it go to?
Yeah.
You know, year one, year two, even if it's in a landfill, at least it's not in the ocean, number one. Okay, but then after that, where does this product go? You have companies like Adidas right now, who has launched a line of tennis shoes that is fabricated solely from the byproduct of the plastic pollution. You have a company out of South America that is fabricating actual plastic bricks for housing for homeless.
Wow.
Kind of like Legos put together.
I love that.
Yeah.
So eventually you're talking about, you know, not only saving the rainforest, but ending the Homeless Foundation with projects of actual plastic housing in various cities throughout, you know, the country and the world. So there's a lot of people coming on board for the upcycling factor, and that's what's going to happen. It's just a matter of time before they can break the code to where it's physically economical to fabricate that product and put it to use through a supply and demand format.
Those are the shoes that Adidas is making out of plastic pollution
Facebook
from the ocean.
We're showing these. They're really cool looking shoes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
And they're made from the plastic
pollution of the ocean.
That's I love that.
And
I
also Pharrell, artist Pharrell is using.
Launched a clothing line.
Launched a clothing line of fishing nets that are found in the ocean, and he's creating a whole blue jean line made out of.
Blue jeans?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole clothing line that's made out of plastic pollution.
That's amazing.
You can buy. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more. Now, you're involved with which of these organizations or all of them?
Well,
Campbell.
So far as the companies that upcycle, you know, obviously in time we hope to work with any of them that.
But your particular one that's
we are ocean.
We are all ocean.
So we,
Campbell's
we,
our partner.
We have created Love the Sea.
Love the Sea, that's
501c3.
In a collaborative effort, we have partnered with Surf Rider.
Bringing a chair here for Scott. We're just being joined by Scott Johnson. We're on Facebook Live, Scott. How are you doing, Scott? Scott's an amazing graphic artist who owns Dogtown Designs and works with Maui Tribe and Willie Kay and is doing an amazing documentary on the blues. Yay!
Wonderful.
On the blues base here and maybe starting and originating in Hawaii. He's doing great on that too. Well, you know what? We're going to be, time flies, but we've been talking for half an hour.
We'll be back.
But I'm glad to see you. We've been talking and communicating. Let me get a good shot of that Ocean Aid. April 30th, we're going to be on it. We're going to be giving someone a chance to fly to Oahu, have a VIP ticket, meet some of these amazing artists, put you up and everything. So
within the next 2 weeks, like I said, we'll be coming back with the launch and kind of elaborating on what the entertainment aspect part of it is. But right now, it's all about the cause and getting it out there and creating an awareness for what we're creating on Hawaii that will eventually extend to the rest of the world.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, coming in and flying over.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
it's great
us.
Meeting you,
me
Ava,
too.
Big Daddy Carlos, and
Campbell. Bright's on.
Bright. Good seeing you all. And a big aloha. Until next time.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
All right.
Mucho mahalo.
Okay. So now we're gonna do musical chairs here. Oh, I'm going to post it here. And we're going to do musical chairs, and Scott's going to be moving on over here. And we're going to talk about a really great blues event that's coming up on March 23rd through March 25th. And,